Hi everyone, welcome again to the No Tech Show. Today I'm really grateful to have met another woman who's in the crazy world of tech. So we're going to, Louise McFarlane, who's here on behalf of two things. One is the Head of Customer Success at Easy Crypto, is that right?
Yes.
Yep. And then you also run Australian Crypto for Australia, Women Crypto for Women Australia and New Zealand.
That's correct. Yes, indeed.
Now, we're going to have to be very careful on this one because Louise and I have talked before, and I think it was an intro chat, and we ended up talking about an hour about all things. But this is like a basic level of what I'm really conscious of, particularly for people who haven't gotten into crypto yet, is that it really feels like something that's not relative to them at all. You know, it seems like something completely foreign. And the only people who seem to be explaining it are people who either sound like they're trying to sell you Amway, you know, they're kind of almost televangelist types about, you know, they're either crazy people or they're speaking in so much jargon, you're just like, what on earth does that even mean? So I'm so excited to meet you in terms of you actually just explaining it in plain English. Yeah.
That's so, what I try to do.
It's harder than it sounds. I did a podcast a while ago on blockchain, and it was much harder than I thought it was going to be. So what I'm hoping we'll do today is just to go through, so for all of those people who I would almost be called WTF crypto, what is it and how did it start, and is it something that your normal everyday person who's not a techie web 3 nerd should care about?
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me on board. And I'm so excited to have these conversations with you because it's fun and it's great to be talking about it. And as a busy woman, mother, you know, it is my passion because I feel like we will be left behind again with this tech revolution. And that is what's happening with crypto. Crypto is just the icing on the cake, which people see and they're like, oh, don't quite understand that. But it's actually the symbolism of a tech revolution that is happening right in front of us on a daily basis. And it is alienating because of the language that's around it and the complexity that's not user-friendly yet. There are some amazing people working on it to try and make it user-friendly, but we're not there. It's still progressing. But I think this comes into the question of like, what is it? And why is it needed?
Why? Yes. Why? Well, particularly, I think it'd be good to get your thoughts on the question after you talk about the what, but it's a question I get asked a lot is what's the point?
Yeah. And the funny thing is it does actually fit into what it is because it's evolution is what crypto is. And so it's the evolution of value exchange. And that's where I actually came into it in a big way a couple of years ago when I was really questioning value exchange. Like, how do we exchange our value in today's society? Because I was a mother with two small children at the time. Mm. And actually, the thing that I valued the most in the world was other people's time and energy and help. So it wasn't necessarily a financial contribution. Mm-hmm. But it was an exchange of, it could be someone dropping off a meal on my doorstep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Or taking my children for a walk for half an hour. And you know, the immense value that that gave me. So this led me down this kind of like, you know, and also that where our pays have got way out of whack. You know, it used to be that a politician and a teacher used to get paid the same. And I think that wasn't that long ago. I think that was only in the 90s.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And now a politician earns like 3 or 4 times the amount of a teacher. And I mean, and they go on holiday for a huge amount of time. Plus, like once you've been a politician for a certain period of time, you get free travel on the taxpayer for the rest of your life. Like, you know. So where the value there, I'm like a little bit, so this led me into like the whole thing of like, what is value? How do we do it? And then of course it's like, what's the value of money? Why is it so different around the place? Where does it come from? And I guess you do kind of, when you get into crypto, you do a deep, dark dive. You start peeling back the onion of like, oh, okay, where does money come from? And as I explained it to my kids about getting a mortgage,
Right.
And I loved it because, you know, so simple, kids out of the mouth of babes. They're like, you know, we said, you know, we got a mortgage for, you know, like $500,000 or something. And they're like, did they carry $500,000 from one place to the other?
All right, because they're thinking cash.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's like, oh, gotcha. No, they just typed it into a computer.
Right.
And they're like, does that really exist? Can anyone type that into a computer?
Right.
Mm. And so does, you know, we started like our value exchange used to be a barter system, didn't we? You had apples, I had oranges, we exchanged them. But over time, that has actually lost the real value exchange. So what is our current financial system based on?
Right.
And it's a perceived value amongst people. And that's pretty much it. It's not on the gold standard anymore. That disappeared. So, So crypto is just kind of the evolution of that. And you think about it at the moment, you're already using digital currency every day, probably, because you use your card. You know, fewer and fewer people are getting out cash to pay for things and places.
Right. Okay. So if we just unpack that just for a little bit. So if you talk about we're already using, so crypto is a digital currency, and by digital we mean the interwebs. And then so you're already using a digital form of currency by tapping a card that then has a conversation, if you like, between two places to transfer the value. Is that?
Yes, exactly. And that conversation between those two banks. And I mean, and you've got all these middle people, because you've got like, so you're making the transaction at the place. So you're tapping your card. Now the retailer that you're tapping the card on is paying a fee for you to tap your card.
Yep.
So they've got their fee. So then your bank is charging a fee for you using their services. Then their bank is charging a fee for using the services. And then if they want to take it out. So there's all of these intermediaries in our current system. And what crypto does is takes them all out. So it just goes from me to you through the network, which is the computers that validate it, which is the blockchain you were talking about. And for a fraction of the fee and in the same amount of time that it takes to do that FPOS transaction. Whereas,
can we have an example and put it in the different places? Is that what you're just about saying?
Well, the thing is that there are different blockchains that work differently. So if we just say, and this is the whole thing when people are like crypto and they just like give it one smear, it's actually, that's just like saying stocks. So it's like, are all stocks the same? I don't think so. I think like you can get all of these different companies. You could get stocks in New Zealand, or you could get, you know, shares in Fletcher Building, or all of these different companies, and they all do very different things. Mm-hmm. And that's the same as crypto. Everything does a very different thing. So Bitcoin could be used as a currency, like we're talking about. And that transaction can, and it goes through for a fraction of a cent as well. Like the fees are just minimal.
So can you maybe give us, if we think about that value exchange you were talking about. So if what I'm hearing is like, so at the beginning of time, there's a desperate need of me to put some kind of weird history voice on when I say that, at the beginning of time, you know, we used to use things in terms of value exchange. Or I'll give you this apple for that shoe or whatever. And then it evolved, like future of you said, like to using something with like a coin which had perceived value, in terms of, okay, instead of trading things, we use this as a representation, if you like, of the value exchange. And so in crypto, what's an example maybe to explain that value exchange again?
Well, so Bitcoin is kind of very basic, and it's just like we agree on something. You say, hey, that's $10. We work out how much it is in Bitcoin, and I send it to you. So that's just us making an agreement. And so while Bitcoin was good, like is it just a plain currency, but it doesn't do any of the thinking. And so that's where other blockchains came on, like Ethereum, that can write smart contracts to have an agreement of, if you give me this thing, then I will pay you that. So all contracts in the world are, if this happens, then that happens.
Right. But so if you say the apple in the shoe, just for example, or yeah. I will give you this for this month, for this amount of cryptocurrency, you maybe what you're saying is that I, Corey, want to sell this, desperately sell my glasses, which wouldn't work, but sell my glasses to you for, say, 10 Ethereum, which would be phenomenal price. But anyway, then how does that work?
Well, then what we could do in that contract, though, is we could say, I will buy your glasses if I can use them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that, and that's in this, what the contract, smart contract that sits underneath that. That transaction, so the agreement between us of
the value. And the thing is that humans are not trustworthy. You know, we are terrible at honoring contracts and at doing all of these things.
Right, I got you.
Mm-hmm. So it takes it away from us and it puts it into a trusted third party, which is the cryptography, which is the computer language that it's been written in. And so that when it's fulfilled, it happens.
Got you. So I'm selling you 10 Ethereum because I know how much that's worth. It just sounds ridiculous. But if I'm selling, I am though, because they're an amazing pair of glasses. So I'm, Corey, I'm going to sell you this pair of glasses for 10 Ethereum and our agreement underneath that, which is written in the smart contract is with the, I'll take this off you if they actually work. And then what you're saying is that is recorded cryptographically. What the hell is going on with my mouth today? Excuse my language. But like it, within the blockchain, so that it is actually, which is immutable, so you can't actually change it.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Gotcha. You can't go back and say, hey, I said it was 11. It's like, no, you didn't. It's written. It's written. We can't argue it. I can't go back and change it and say, no, it was 9. And that's the beauty of the decentralization of the blockchain, which means it's everywhere. Like it's on all of these different computers around the world validating these transactions. So it can't be changed. It's immutable. As you said, that's it. Once it happens if it all happens. And that's it. So it's all written in at the start. So this could have big, so that's Ethereum and what they're, the two big ones, Bitcoin and Ethereum, and they do slightly different things. The Bitcoin is definitely looking more at changing of money and currencies, whereas the Ethereum is definitely like, how do we change our agreements and the way that we do things like that?
Mm. So if I think about that, so I guess just to take that example back again a step for people, if I go, so originally when the trustworthiness of people, if I said, you know, this pair of glasses I'll give you for $10 in the other world, and then they didn't work, you'd have no recourse because that I could just have run away somewhere. But because it's recorded in the system, and I think the benefit of the decentralization is it's not just in one place, so it's much harder to hack it. Plus, it's, you know, if you, with the way the chain works, if you try and it's recorded on, if you change one thing, the whole thing falls over. So it's much more secure a way of having trust between our agreement between the two of us.
Absolutely. This is what it's getting back to, is actually having some trust. Like, and that's why we've got to have this technological revolution of this way, because we've got so out of control with corruption and people just doing what they kind of want and then saying, oh no, I didn't. And then if you've got the most money and you can afford the biggest lawyers, you win. And it's like the playing field isn't even. And so it's like, how do we get back to doing that? And I don't think we can do that with the regular systems that we've got in play. And I don't see it happening with political systems. I worked in education for a long time. I don't see education as being equally distributed. You know, it all has to change. And at the moment, we're at the start of crypto, how many times did they say the internet was going to die? Yes. Oh, it's never going to take off. Facts. Yeah.
I think that's a really important point, though, because I mean, I know that I'd love to hear what the most common questions you get asked are at barbecues, but one of the most common questions I get asked is, well, what, okay, that's great, but like, I can't actually buy a pair of glasses for that, because they can't, it's, but I think the fact that it's at the beginning of its evolution, much like I think when you could compare when we went from bartering to suddenly introducing, you know, this piece of paper or coin that was going to be used for it, it feels inaccessible to a lot of people, I think. Mm. They just don't quite get, well, I still don't get it, you know. Absolutely. What I mean? So how do I access it? All I can see is the Elon Musk of this world, his name had to come into this at some point, or, you know, we won't dive into this now, but like what's happening with exchanges at the moment in terms of fraud and stuff like that. So and there's people who haven't even bought any cryptos. So how do we explain to them the value?
Well,
what can they do to access it, or what the point is maybe for them?
Yeah, and I think we're definitely in. And it's interesting because you can buy things. You know, recently I got someone to do some design work for me in the Netherlands.
Right.
And we had everything agreed, and like instantly, as soon as I checked it and I liked it, like I sent through the payment and he received it immediately.
Right.
And I said, we weren't waiting on anything. We didn't need our banks to do anything. And my husband's from overseas, and we often transfer money to family overseas. It takes days. It takes like 5 days to go through. Plus, I have to pay a fee to my bank. They have to pay a fee to their bank. And it's a big fee, like $15, not for it, you know, regardless. So, you know, we've got all these people in New Zealand who are paying remittances to their families abroad. So Western Union, MoneyGram, you know, all of those ones, they are actually stealing money from hardworking people that leave their home countries to support their families.
Right.
So, you know, like they need to come down. So while we look at it as in our lovely middle-class life that we live, like, sure, it can help us. For me, it helped me contract someone over the internet. That was great. You know, that's really great for me. However, the massive changes that it's going to symbolize for people, for currency-wise, is making transactions so that their family gets $100 when they send it home instead of $85.
Right.
You know, that it's a big difference. So, and that's, you know, it's like our Pacific neighbors, Tonga, Samoa, Fiji, you know, these people, they come to New Zealand and they are our backbone. They keep our country going. And Tonga's GDP, I believe a third of it is made up of remittances from Australia and New Zealand. Now, the percentage that's going to these centralized organizations that money's going through is huge. So this just gets more directly into people's hands, and then they can start. And then the power is actually within the communities, because that's when we actually start being like, oh yeah, I accept Bitcoin for payment.
Right. If I take that for your example there, I think those are really good examples. If we go that designer, for example, that you paid in cryptocurrency, the next step that person could do is then actually use something like an Easy Crypto to then exchange that cryptocurrency for a dollar that can be used in their own country. So you could, if I paid you in Ethereum, you could then use an exchange to then exchange that for the US dollar or for the, I think that's the piece that gets missed quite a lot.
Absolutely.
I think you're so right there.
And actually that's a really important topic, which I don't think we talk about enough. And I think I get way too deep into it because I love it. But what you're talking about there is on-ramp and off-ramp. So it's like, how do you get your money in and how do you get your money out? And that is so important, because having those options set up easily, and it's always good to have a couple of options with that. Unfortunately, it's really difficult because crypto companies struggle a lot with banking, surprise surprise, because the banks don't like them, because they you know, might take away business. So yeah, that's a great thing. You look at how do you get your money in, what are you going to have? And then the next thing is, I mean, the big thing about crypto is that you become your own bank. So you're holding your crypto in a wallet, which could be on a phone or on a device that looks like this, which is a little ledger. I'm not sure if one's in here, but it looks like a USB. And that's your keys to your part of the blockchain. And then you can do whatever you like with it. Crypto is 24/7. You don't have to wait for a branch to open to send it to someone. So, but that's a big thing, on-ramp and off-ramp. And then it's like, but I do feel like there's a lot lost in that middle part, because it's like people actually getting it in is a lot of work. Like, that is a big learning curve just in that part there.
So we
then it's like, what do I do with it? Like,
yeah. And I love if I'm thinking about it now in terms of your examples of either, you know, paying someone in a paying someone for a service, like you said, and what that means is that you're not waiting a lot. If you're paying for a graphic designer or my pair of glasses in Ethereum, for example, you there aren't as many fees, and it's a trusted transaction because of where it's stored. And so if you think about that as being, you know, 10 Ethereum, almost 10 Ethereum will get there, as opposed to with if you're using standard financial transactions, say $10, a lot of the ticket clips will mean you'll only get 5 there. So then if I think about your example of sending money back to families overseas, or you know, wherever you want, you know, sending money to people that you want to send money to, then it becomes just an easier way of getting that money to them in another form, right? So, and then what you're talking about, another form in which you know that the majority of that money will get there without having the ticket clip, so that you've made so you're only getting $8 out of the 10, for example. So then if I think about what you're just talking about then in terms of on-ramping and off-ramping, what that means is effectively, how do I get my 10 New Zealand dollars transferred into or exchanged for a cryptocurrency, and then do that transaction to send it to my family overseas, and then teach them so they can off-ramp it, i.e. get it into a currency in their place. And that at the moment, and again, I think this is because it is such a new part of the evolution of money and how we do value exchange between each other. I think we've all done it. I hope we've all done it, but you know, it's very easy to make a mistake. So I guess, I think that does explain, it definitely explains the value of why you should think about it. Do you have any thoughts on, we have any thoughts on that, but also do you have some thoughts and advice for people who maybe want to, on ramping and off ramping, I guess, who want to try it to see if they can, not financial advice, but the kind of, obviously, but the fundamentals of how to.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, you've got to start somewhere. And it is a personal journey of like, how does this work? One of my favorite quotes in crypto is actually, the essence of crypto is personal responsibility. And it is. And that's really, that can be a very tough thing for people to face, because there is no CEO. If there's a CEO of a crypto, watch out. Like I don't think that's a good thing. It's like, we're trying to get away from that, because actually this is the whole thing of crypto, is that the decentralization, actually as a whole, the population are pretty amazing. We've got great ideas. We can do amazing things together, but we've all got to play our part in that. So with doing the crypto, like what you've got to do first is you've got to set up a wallet, a place to store it. Just that you have your wallet that you keep all your cards in. You've got to have a wallet to store your crypto in. And when you start out, I would, you know, financial advice, work out what your budget is. Like, before you start playing with anything, you've got to dabble in your own financial literacy a little bit and work out, what are you doing? Like, how much could you put aside and into something? You know, what are you willing to risk? What, you know, and what is the outcome that you want?
Right.
So, and I think you've got to divide your learning journey into different parts as well. So the first part is definitely like play and learn. And this is where the pain comes, because you make mistakes and I need to learn the expression. One of my friends says it often. There's an expression in German, which means like money lost through learning isn't money lost.
Wow.
Yeah. But it's in crypto, you have to be so careful. So you want to make small transactions first. You want to get a wallet to start off with, which you need to record the seed phrase, which is your key to unlock your wallet. Should you drop your phone in the toilet and your wallet's on your phone. So a wallet is usually an app, and there's two kinds that you can get. It's like either a hot wallet, which is like a piece of software that sits on your computer, or it is a cold wallet. This is a cold wallet. I've actually got one here. This doesn't work, but it just looks like a little USB stick. And it plugs into an app on my computer and it unlocks my part of the blockchain, so I can see where my crypto is.
So if I'm just starting though, so say if we take the example of someone wanting to, if I want to send money to my brother Patrick over in Australia, and I want to use crypto to do it, I could probably, the easiest I would suggest, or the most cost effective to start would be to go, one, to your point, start with a minimal amount of money to learn the process. So start with even like $10 New Zealand or something like that, to just so you can learn, and if you do mess something up, then you're going to be okay with it. And maybe go to, does Easy Crypto have instructions on this, by the way, kind of a 101? Okay, yeah, we'll put the link in the description. Yeah, but you would have
long. It's very long because there's a lot to it, but it is great because if you just break it up and just do one thing at a time.
Yeah, just do one thing at a time. Yeah, exactly that. So it's like, you know, your first thing is to go decide how much money you want to transfer to do, learn the experience. And then it is, of course, all online. So you would then need to get an online, a hot wallet, like a MetaMask or something like that, which means you're not paying to purchase anything.
I think it's definitely a great way to start off. I would start off with a wallet that has a wider range than MetaMask. Coins. So MetaMask is definitely Ethereum. So not all wallets take all cryptos. Mm-hmm. So, and for example, if you sent some Bitcoin, now you don't have to purchase a whole Bitcoin. Bitcoin can be divided into 100 million pieces, which is called a Satoshi. So you can get 100 or 1,000 Satoshis, but you must send it from a Bitcoin address to a Bitcoin address. If you send it from a Bitcoin address to an Ethereum, goodbye, it's gone. And that's what we're talking about with having a look. So yeah, Exodus is a good wallet. There's Atomic, there's Jax Liberty, Konomi as well. There are quite a few different ones, and they are good for having a play around on your phone of like, how does this work? And then you can swap between them as well, of it, having a look, I've got this one, what can I do with it, and things like that. And I guess it's interesting because you do start off, I think, in that play time of working it out of like, what does it do? How do I hold it? How do I move it? And that. And then the next kind of question comes along of like, what and why would I buy it? And that's a big one, because it's definitely up to your personal values of what you want, like, and what technology. But what all cryptos should have is a white paper. And that's where Bitcoin started from in like 2009, I believe it was. They put out a white paper. It's only 9 pages long. And it explains what Bitcoin is and why they're doing it. So if you're looking at any crypto, you read the white paper. It's like, what's the point in this? Like, actually, and that's a good question. It's like, what's the point? What does it do? Why has someone bothered to create this? And why are all these people fanatical about it?
Like, yeah, well, I think if I kind of unpack what we've talked about today. So again, I think at the beginning we're talking about how, you know, there's a lot of people who, I think there's kind of two camps. There's a, I really get it and I'm really passionate about it. And then there's a, I've got no ideas. So, which is totally understandable. I'm now an angel in light here, but that's all right. I'll take it. Then I go, well, it is an evolution of money. I think that's a fantastic way of thinking about it. That makes complete sense in terms of we've gone from bartering to having something that represents the transaction. Now this is the next evolution on it. It does already have value in the sense that you can, as you said, either pay someone in crypto that they can then, a cryptocurrency that then they can exchange for a dollar value, they can use it where they're living. Or you could potentially send, if you wanted to send people in the US or Samoa money in that currency, you could actually send it in crypto and then they could exchange it there. I think that actually talks about the value quite a lot and why you should care about it. I think then probably the next, and we should, our next podcast, maybe we can talk about the different types and how to invest and things like that. But if I think about it just in terms of the transfer of value, then maybe a good place to start is to start with a couple of the ones that are really common so that you, get a wallet. Well,
and it is interesting because, you know, we've got, so the top five are kind of, and when we say top five, why are they the top five? And that's because they have the largest market cap. So that means the amount of money that is tied up in those particular ones. So
and Bitcoin, by money, what do you mean?
Well, the money that has kind of poured in from investors into it that give it, you know, so it's the same as like the stock market. Yeah, it's the same kind of thing of like, this share is worth this much because this supply and demand.
Got you. So people are seeing value in it. So the market cap is high, means a lot of people's, so therefore probably has more promise or security, if you like, than another. Yeah, I was going to say, wait, let me take that back. It's than some others. Yeah.
And I mean, it's exactly the same as, you know, that does, you know, the startup.
Almost headed us down that road.
Back up
I'm gonna move out of the light because it's making me crazy. There you go, now you can see my face. All right,
but the thing is with that is that, you know, like 90% of startups fail in the first 2 years,
right?
So, and that's traditional businesses, that's people who set up a spray tanning salon, that's people who set up dog grooming, that's someone who imports beach umbrellas, you know, like startups, 90% of them fail within the first 2 years.
Right.
And the whole thing is cryptos are startups.
Right.
They are ideas. They are businesses that people have started up. And the same thing will happen, you know, like, and there are, in the last bull run, which was last year, there were tens of thousands of cryptos. And some of them were useless ideas that were just there. And it's exactly the same as businesses. Like, there are businesses out there that are set up just to steal money from people. You know, they don't deliver anything. We see this a lot at the moment in the building industry with all these building companies just taking everyone's deposits and vanishing.
Mm.
You know, it's that's part of life. So it's like looking at, like you said, like those top five or so. And we've got interesting ones in the top five because we've got Bitcoin and Ethereum, which are the two top, as in market cap. And then we've actually got ones that are called stable coins. And their value is actually tied to the US dollar. So whereas a Bitcoin can change, it could go from being today worth like $17,000 to tomorrow being $34,000, and then the next day $5,000. The stable coins are always pegged to the US dollar. So if you buy one US stable coin today, it's going to be worth one US dollar tomorrow. Like, it's connected like that. Mm. So that part has seen a lot of adoption this year, and especially for transfer of money so that people actually know what they're getting.
Mm.
Because it's taken that out of the equation, that fluctuation, that volatility. So a lot of people, but the whole thing with that is that, like, that's why people loved the speculation of Bitcoin and Ethereum, because they're like, maybe it will be worth more tomorrow, you know? So they were in for that.
Yeah.
Whereas I think the tide has definitely changed at this time of the year, where people who are still here are here because they know that it's the technology behind it, the blockchain, what these things are built on, how they're changing contracts and all of that kind of stuff. That's what's happening. And we are all using blockchains at the moment, even though we don't realize it. So, you know, it's slowly growing in that sort of adoption as well.
Great. Yeah, that's true. And I think that comes back to your point at the beginning about, you know, it's the beginning of the next evolution, right? So we'll see more of that, and we should talk, I think, more on that as well. I think what's fascinating about today, I love some of the ways you've described it, that one, that evolution, but two, the, you know, it does have value already. And the trick is, if you do want to take advantage of that value in terms of making sure that, you know, $10 or whatever gets across to $10 when it lands to the person you want it to get to, is do your research as to, you know, if you're going to use a particular cryptocurrency, try and use one of the top five that are out there at the moment, and, you know, check. Stable coin's a great example, because if it's pegged to the US dollar, you know it's going to still be probably the same amount. Well, it's going to be the same amount when it gets to the other side.
Yeah.
And use an exchange, I think, as well, to on-ramp, as you talk about it, and off-ramp, which is one that is easy to talk to and has good customer service people, so that can help you out.
I would promote that greatly, because, I mean, I've been in crypto for a long time, and you know what? Communication was absolutely terrible. And not only communication, but, like, once you did communicate with someone, the language they used was terrible. And what our aim at Easy Crypto is, like, whenever we respond to a customer's query or just any query, is we will put the crypto language first, and then in brackets we will explain what it means.
Hallelujah. Yeah, that's
because it's just like, and then, you know, it's not, because it's about lifting people up, it's about encouraging. And I think that was, for me, that's been a huge part of it, because I come from an education background, and I taught English for a long time, and I taught English to refugees and all sorts of people coming to New Zealand for a new life. And these people were super educated, spoke like five other languages. You know, English would be their sixth. And people would speak to them like they were dumb. And it's like, this person was a doctor in their home country. It's like, they just need to meet the New Zealand English requirements to be able to do it here.
Yeah.
And also, it's like, it's the same with crypto. I'm not going to let people speak to people like they're dumb, because they're only learning their journey. And that education journey for all of us and everything, it's like, when someone is really rude to you about something that you're new at and you're learning, it puts you off. It's like, it leaves a bad taste in your mouth. You don't want to ask any more questions, because, you know, there's the shame of, like, I asked it and then I got shot down and stuff like that. And so I'm really passionate about changing that conversation. And so I'm very lucky and blessed to be able to do that at Easy Crypto with an amazing group of people who also want to do the same thing. And then I also do it online in my Crypto Women's group as well, because there is a difference between how women view it and how men view it, and the language that's used and the issues that we go through entering into tech is different. The barriers. So it's like, just have open and honest conversations. But, like, I feel bad for the men that they can't join my group. I'm sorry to leave them out, but, like, the women in my group just love it, because they're like, I love these conversations, you know. They're like, great conversations where people often start it, they say, I'm sorry to ask a stupid question, but.
Oh, I hear that a lot. I think that, yeah, that happens.
And I'm always like, stop. It would be a stupid question if you didn't ask it.
Yeah.
So there's no such thing as a stupid question. And it's like, if you have to ask it like 15 times, it's okay. Like,
yeah. And ask it of people, like people from, you know, if I think about this, you know, one-on-one to try crypto and why it's valuable is, you know, whether it's Easy Crypto or another exchange, find one that where you feel like you can understand what they're talking about. Because if you do, that's a really good place to start. I'm going to wrap us up now because we could just talk about this all day. But I think it's a brilliant first conversation in terms of why it's here and you know the. Why cryptocurrency is around and how it started and what it means, and also some ways to think about having a play. I like that yourself. So if you're playing with stuff, let's say playing with fire, weirdly came into my head. But like you know, you start be safe about it. You know, like don't try and look for the top five. Make sure that you're using bits of amounts of money that you can test and learn that you won't freak yourself out if you don't. You know, if something goes wrong and use something like Easy Crypto to make sure that you're talking to people who'll help you through it.
Absolutely. Perfect. Cool. Thank you, Corey.
Oh my gosh, that was amazing. And we will talk again soon. We'll put some links down the bottom for you to the how-to and Easy Crypto and possibly some different wallets and things like that you recommend. But as always, if you have any questions, fire away. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Thanks.